Good morning, Nachum. Good Erev Yontif, everybody. And wow, what a special day this is. Today's Erev Yom Tov is different from all other Erev Yom Tov. How so, you might ask? Well, today is the day that, when we were privileged to have a Beis HaMikdash, we brought the Korban this afternoon. When a Jew brings a Korban, that in of itself is like a Yom Tov for him, and therefore, lo aleinu, somebody sitting Shiva. So normally, you would sit Shiva until, if it was Erev Sukkos, Erev Shavuos, or any other holiday, to as close as nightfall as possible, then get up and you're finished with your Shiva. Today, you finish your Shiva at mid the day, Chatzos, which is in the New York area, approximately 12:54. And in which case, the Shiva is over, because in the afternoon, that's when we were privileged to bring the Korban Pesach. So that is almost like the holiday begins. From the Torah, you can eat chametz till that time, 12:54. The rabbis moved it up, and therefore, in the New York metropolitan area, one should stop eating their chametz by 10:15 in the morning. After that, you have an additional hour or so for the burning of the chametz. The chametz that you collected last night when you did the search for the chametz, that is brought to either your local synagogue, where most synagogues have a controlled fire, so you can burn the chametz and to recite the Kol Chamira to completely divest yourself of any chametz. Let's first of all talk a little bit about the preparations for the Seder for tonight. Okay, some practical things. Just make sure that your egg is roasted before Lichtzin tonight. The egg is roasted. The shank bone is roasted. Whatever you're going to use for that on your Seder plate. Prepare the salt water. Open wine. Open the boxes of matzah in case they are sealed, etc. All these hachanos should be done, and if you have even a large Seder, put the name cards or a little as to where people will be seated. The more you can facilitate so that when we do come home from shul, and if one unfortunately is not able to go to shul, then as approximately 8:30, when we begin the Pesach Seder, we spoke about this Erev Shabbos, that you can't start your Pesach Seder early, it has to be Balayla. Once again, the effect of the Korban Pesach that was eaten at night, and even though we don't have yet the Korban Pesach, it has such an effect upon us, including preparing the Kittel, meaning that some, according to the Netziv, lead the Seder with a white gown, or even others participating, because when we had a Beis HaMikdash, one ate the Korban wearing a white gown. Okay, so let's take the opportunity just to review together some of the highlights and of the 15 steps of the Seder. The word Seder itself means an order, so I'd like to just run through the order with you, reminding you as to some of the key points that Amir Hashem we're going to do this evening. Okay, so the Seder starts with Kiddush. This is the Kadesh, the recitation of Kiddush. Now, in this regard, this Yom Tov is not different from any other Yom Tov. All of the Yom Tov and Shabbos begin our meal with Kiddush. However, tonight everybody has to drink. Tonight, everybody has to drink a Rove Revius. Now, ideally, excuse me, let's go back. Ideally, we should all drink Rove, we should drink the entire Kos. Now, you have to drink the cup of wine. Now, ideally, your cup doesn't have to contain more than 3.5 or 4 ounces. However, whatever cup you're going to use, and don't make it much bigger, you have to drink the whole cup. If you can't drink the whole cup, you have to drink Rove Kos, a majority of the cup. Now, very important, many rabbis insist that there should be some alcoholic kick to that which you're drinking. So, really, unless one cannot drink wine for medicinal reasons, you should have wine, and if necessary, mix the wine with your grape juice. But don't drink all grape juice unless it is for health reasons. Now, the reason for that is because we are very simply, aside from performing 4 different mitzvos accompanied by a cup of wine, it's really a symbol of, like the Gemara says, chayrus, freedom, or simply, we are toasting Hashem. And you know, when you go to a l'chaim, you don't toast, where's the grape juice? So this is very important. Don't be scared and tell the women. You can use a wine called Kal. I don't want to give any brands a favor, but use a wine that has 3.5 or as little as 4. Don't go much higher than 5% alcohol. Mix that with the grape juice so you're not drinking all wine. Okay? Now, next, everybody has to drink, and the men especially should lean to the left when we drink the Arba Kosos. Good. From Kadesh we go to Urchatz. We're going to wash our hands without a blessing. Now, why are we washing the hands? Number one, to arouse the curiosity of the young, and number two, because we conduct ourselves tonight, as I mentioned, as if we had a Beis HaMikdash, and we're going to have in a moment the Karpas. Urchatz and Karpas go together. I am washing my hands because when we had a Beis HaMikdash, then our hands, according to the rabbis, because we touch our shoes, we touch parts of our body that are not always clean. The bottom line is our hands have a slight degree of impurity. If we don't wash our hands and wash and remove that impurity, we're going to use our fingers, and that's why you can't use a fork for karpas. You must use your fingers, or else we're defeating the whole purpose of washing our hands. You're going to take your fingers, you're going to dip whatever you use for karpas, anything that you make a Bori Pri Adama. Try to stick with your family tradition. If you have no family tradition, use something like celery, a vegetable, okay? Many use potato. The bottom line is Rav Teitz, Zachron Levracha, taught his people that the bracha over a banana is a Bori Pri Adama. So he told his people to take banana. Whatever works, but you take something that is a Bori Pri Adama and you have it in your fingers. You dip it in the salt water, and we recite the bracha of Borei Pri Adama. And as everybody knows, and if not, keep in mind, remember, that this blessing of Borei Pri Adama, I keep in mind, goes as well for the maror, for the bitter herb that you will be eating later on as part of the meal. Okay, we move next to Yachatz. Yachatz is, we split from the word chatsi, we split the middle matzah. And what does that mean? The larger half is put away for the end of the meal when we eat the afikoman. And this is part of our eating of the afikoman, which we'll talk about, please God, a little bit later. And the smaller half is used when we recite the Haggadah, there is to be matzah on the table. If you have one table, then everybody will be able to see that smaller half of matzah. So among the explanations of Lechem Oni, a bread of poverty, a bread of affliction, it's also the bread over which we recite a great deal, the Haggadah. So when we're reciting the Haggadah, there should be matzah. If there's more than one table, then by all means on each table, there should be a pile or some matzah, so that when we recite the Haggadah, we see the matzah. Okay? Now, Magid, we're up to the first of two biblical, unique mitzvos of the night. There are only two biblical mitzvos that we have that are special to the night of the Pesach Seder at your Seder. The first one that we encounter is V'igadeta l'bincha, as it says in the second book of the Torah, chapter 13, verse 8, you are to tell your children, Bayom Ahu, on that day, Lemor, Bavur Zeh, because of this, and this refers to those mitzvos that we can point to, the matzah, the morar, Aso Hashem Li, did God do for me when I left Egypt? Probably one of the most difficult parts of the night is for a person to feel as if they personally left Egypt. But we are to try to conjure this up. We are to try to convey this to our children and all those around the table. There's so much I can say about Magid. I saw something interesting this past Shabbos, that after all, there are two expressions in the Torah of telling. There is V'igadeta l'bincha, and there's also L'man tisaper. There's Haggadah and Sipur. So the Malbim says, what's the difference? That Haggadah is something new, something I didn't know before. So there's still time. If you don't have something new to say at your Pesach Seder, I'll even suggest something right now. In the very first paragraph after the Manishtana, we say that if Hashem didn't take us out of Egypt, we would still be slaves to Paro in Egypt. Oh, come on. Discuss this with everybody at the table. Whatever happened to the concept of revolution? We've seen so many revolutions over the years of history. So how could we say we would still be slaves to Paro? So one very nice answer is, what it means is as follows. Yes, Hashem didn't take us out, and a few hundred years later, a benevolent, kind Paro would let us go. At which time, when we would leave Egypt, we would be grateful to that Paro. Ah, tonight we celebrate and we're grateful to Hashem and nobody else. As we say later on in the Magid section, God said, I will pass over the homes of the Jewish people and kill the firstborn. Anivalo Malach, Anivalo Sorav, Anivalo Shaliach, Anihu Velo Acher, Hashem himself. And that's what we are focusing, you know, on this evening at the Pesach Seder, a strong personal connection between ourselves and Hashem. So please, when it comes to the Magid, you don't have to say every word of the Haggadah. If you're asking me what's the most important page in the Haggadah, so towards the end of the Magid, we have Rabbi Gamliel Hoya Omer. Rabbi Gamliel would teach that whoever didn't recite and explain Pesach, Matzah, and Maror have not fulfilled their obligation of the evening of A, telling the story, and B, when you eat the matzah, you have to know what it commemorates. When you eat the maror, you have to know what it commemorates as well. So that page is exceedingly important. And needless to say, one should understand the Haggadah. From time to time, I really believe you should have people read aloud the translation of the Haggadah in a language they understand, be it in English, be it in any language that's familiar to the people at the Seder, okay? That's what it should be read, and discussion. Especially, now, be aware that there is a kind of tension, the rabbis note, between the Haggadah being recited over the matzah, the smaller piece, and or the wine. So, for example, when we come to Vehisha Umda, we put the matzah down, we cover it, pick up the wine that you've already poured for the second cup, and you recite Vehisha Umda. Now, Vehisha Umda is talking about the promise that Hashem made to Abraham, and this promise is still there. What does that mean? God said, I will protect the Jewish people. Well, thank you, Hashem. This past a week ago, Saturday night, unbelievable, over 300 rockets were sent by Iran. None of them did any damage. Potentially, God forbid, what could have been, talk about this. And the reality of what was, there's no question that, quote, there is a God in and for Israel. No question about it. And this is something that really should be highlighted and discussed at your Pesach Seder throughout, how various passages in the Seder don't only apply to the historical past, but apply to us today. And talk about, unfortunately, the hostages that are still missing from their respective families who are not at their Pesach Seder. Think of the many soldiers who are unfortunately on duty and actually carrying out the mission of safety for Klal Yisrael. As we are sitting down to the Seder, remember them, pray for their welfare. It's a very opportune time, the Pesach Seder, for us to connect with our past, which is really the Maggid section, culminating with the first two paragraphs of the Haggadah, of the Hallel, Hallelu Abdei Hashem. We now have become servants of God, no longer servants of Paro. And the second paragraph, B'tzeis Yisrael Mitzrayim. So the Maggid focuses a great deal on the past. As I said, so much of it is relevant for today as well. The meal that we will eat, Mirtz Hashem, is the present. We eat the meal and enjoy the meal in the present. And finally, the end of the Seder, after we've eaten the meal and after we've drunk the third cup, we are focusing on the future. And the same way that we celebrate on the night of Pesach our faith that it was Hashem who extricated us from Mitzrayim, so too are we sure that He will redeem us, get us out of the present exile that we are in. Please God, herald the coming of Moshiach and the better days that await us and all of mankind. Okay, after we've complete the Maggid, we have the drinking of the second cup, which is really going on the Haggadah, and once again, leaning to the left. Okay, Rachza. Now, before we wash our hands, we should know what we are doing. We are about to have the meal, and the meal begins with the second biblical mitzvah of the night. In fact, the only biblical mitzvah of eating that we have that's unique to not just tonight, the Pesach Seder that's biblical, is the eating of matzah. And therefore, before you go to wash, remember, whoever is leading the Seder if you have one table or as many tables as you have, appoint somebody to make sure that there'll be a nice size piece of matzah waiting for everybody when they come back from washing. The idea behind it is that when the Torah says Bo'erev tochlu matzah, the lashon achila of eating, so rabbis tell us that if you have a handmade shmura matzah, we're talking about approximately a third of a matzah. If you have a machine, either shmura matzah or machine matzah, a half of a machine matzah. So this should be awaiting everybody at their place, so then when we recite, first of all, you wash your hands with a bracha on the tilas yadayim. When the bracha of Hamotzi is recited, either by the head of the household, or everybody together, whatever your custom is, and then we recite the bracha of Al Achilas Matzah, we eat the matzah, leaning to the left, and ideally, we don't talk while we are eating the matzah. Think of a privilege that this is, that with this eating, we're fulfilling a biblical mitzvah. Okay, and that we were rushed out of Egypt. And that's why, again, don't take your, quote, sweet time in eating the matzah. Eat the matzah within a few minutes. Don't talk while you're eating it. It's really a religious experience. It's not just eating a particular bread. It's a privilege, and look at it that way. Okay? Before you actually put it in your mouth, there were those that kissed the matzah. You don't have to do it in such a way to call attention to yourself. But again, it's another expression of how close we feel to Hashem, how privileged we feel having the opportunity to fulfill His mitzvos. Now, Chacham Einav Barosha, a person who realizes what's coming next. So afterwards, we're going to have Moror. I'm telling you that the romaine lettuce is certainly more preferable than horseradish. I'm not going to go into a long discussion of this. I am going to tell you that in many, many places, be it in Russia, be it in Poland, they just did not have romaine lettuce. No, without a choice, they had no choice but to eat horseradish. And now, needless to say, since my great-grandfather and his grandfather all the way down ate horseradish, how can I not eat horseradish? Well, believe me, if they had the romaine lettuce, they would have eaten it as well. Okay, if you want to have the horseradish, please check with your local Orthodox rabbi and have the romaine lettuce first. And don't even put the horseradish in the romaine lettuce. First eat the romaine lettuce. Not leaning to the left, make a bracha on that, al achilas moror. Now, again, if you're having whatever it is, the moror should be on the table so that afterwards, as soon as you made your hamotzi and you finished your matzah, we can go straight to the moror without a whole discussion, etc. Because as we're going to see in a moment, ideally, your bracha of matzah and your bracha of maror should go on the sandwich which comes afterwards. We had the matzah, biblical mitzvah. We had the maror today, which is only rabbinic. And the reason why matzah is maror is rabbinic today is because we don't have a Korban Pesach. Please God, in the future, please God, next year, the maror will be elevated to a biblical mitzvah. So we have one biblical mitzvah of matzah, a rabbinic mitzvah of maror, and then we have a sandwich. Why? Because according to the rabbis who argue with Hillel, we've already fulfilled our obligation separately with having matzah, having maror. According to Hillel, who required that they be eaten together, we can't go straight to the sandwich because the taste of the rabbinic mitzvah will impinge upon the taste of the biblical mitzvah. So I have it first, each separately, then together. So try to have everything on the table, that it shouldn't take that much time. You don't have to rush, but as opposed to finding everything, getting everything, it should all be there, ready to go. I had my matzah leaning to the left. I have my maror sitting straight. And I have my sandwich, my korech. And there, as far as the korech, many people do lean because the matzah is the more important factor, the symbol of freedom, as opposed to the maror, the symbol of servitude. Okay, after that, we have the meal. Many have the custom of eating a hard-boiled egg dipped in salt water. If you don't like the hard-boiled egg, you don't have to have the entire hard-boiled egg. And each family has in accordance. Important thing to know, both for the same reason, Sfardim do eat roasted meat on the night of the Pesach Seder, because the Korban Pesach was roasted. Ashkenazim don't eat roasted meat, because this is a night that we don't want to give the impression that we are eating of the Korban. Enjoy the meal, but leave room for the Afikoman. That's Tzofun. Tzofun means hidden, that which was hidden. Why is that so important? Two reasons. The Rush says that the Afikoman is to remind us of the Korban Pesach that was eaten at the end of the meal when we were eating for dessert, so that the last taste is going to be of the lamb chop when we have the Korban Pesach, and we have the matzah in its stead. And according to Rashi and his grandchildren, they're of the opinion that you started the mitzvah of matzah when you said the bracha al achilas matzah. But really the mitzvah is fulfilled when you eat it at the end of the meal, because the matzah accompanied the Korban Pesach. Okay? Some have the custom of having two kezesim for their eating of matzah and for the afikoman. If you find that challenging, have one. But you need a big piece of afikoman, not just a small piece of that which was hidden, you know, with the children looking for it, or depending on every circumstance. No. If you can't, by all means, take a lot of other matzah and give that out, because that one half of the middle matzah will not suffice to give everybody a kezayis for the afikoman. So take plain shmura matzah, which is preferable, and if not, regular matzah. Okay? We have barech now. After, listen carefully now, we have the Birkas HaMazon, which will now bring us to drink at the end the third cup of wine. After that, we open the door. We welcome Eliyahu HaNavi. We have a special cup which is filled for Eliyahu HaNavi. The true belief, as we ended the Haftorah, that the last prophet Malachi promised the Jewish people that Eliyahu will come to announce the coming of the Moshiach, and the Hallel that we sing at the end of the meal is all a belief and an expression of our trust that all the destiny of the Jewish people will be fulfilled. There will be that Beis HaMikdash. And that's what the Nirtza is. After the Hallel, we drink the fourth cup and we say, Chasal Seder Pesach, that our Pesach Seder is over. We have Lashona Haba, Yerushalayim. We really want to pray and believe that next year we will be in Jerusalem, in Yerushalayim. All this anti-Semitism, which abates all about us, is going to subside. There's going to be a greater recognition in the world of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we say Nirtza, we pray that Hashem will look upon our Seder as if we actually brought the Korban. I take this opportunity to wish Nachum and his family and the entire family of WFMU, entire family of Nachum's many loyal followers all over the world, to realize how privileged we are to be able to sit down and invite Hashem to our Pesach Seder, wishing everybody a Chag Kosher v'Sameach, a good Yom Tov to all.